Also we zeggen in Shabbat Chisra Shagav, and we're Mehudim Sechel Moed Kot and Daf Ches. For the Ekti Gemara, the Braisa learned from the Pasuk that some days the Kohen is to look at a Nega, and some days he should not. From there we learned that the Nega on a Chosin or anyone on Yontif should not be looked at. How do we learn this from the words of the Pasuk? So Abayi said the Pasuk could have said Bi Yoim and instead says Ubi Yoim. Rava said the Pasuk could have just said when it is seen, Bi Raisai. You don't need the word Ubi Yoim altogether. The whole thing is extra and teaches that there are some days that the Nega should be seen and some days not. Abayi said that the word Bi Yoim is not extra because he says it's needed to teach that a Nega is only viewed by day and not by night. Rava learns Halakh from the Pasuk of the Chol Marei Einei HaKoyin. Abayi says this Pasuk teaches that the Koyin is blind in one eye and not pass when a Nega, therefore he says it's not available to teach that. My Rav also needs this pasuk to teach that a kohen who blind in one eye can't see a nega. Where I said he learns that a nega may be viewed by day and not by night from the pasuk of kenega nira li ba'bayis. It was seen to me without the use of additional light. The other pasuk is therefore available to teach a drasha regarding the kohen who is blind in one eye. Abayi would say that if we would learn enough from that pasuk, I would think that only house tzaras must be viewed by day, but maybe body tzaras, which is more stringent, therefore it should be viewed immediately as soon as possible, even by night. That's why you need the other pasuk. Zuck the Mishnah. May also said one may gather his parents' bones in Chalamoy to move them to rebury them in a family plot, because it's a joy for the person of having done so. Yossi says that's a source of mourning for the person, therefore it may not be done in Chalamoy. Zuck the Mishnah, a person may not arouse feelings for his relatives who have died in the past couple of months, meaning by hiring someone to go to all the relatives and arouse feelings of mourning, or to hire someone to make a spade for the maize within the 30-day period before Yom Tov. For the Gemara, Bryce says the one who collects his parents' bones is in a state of mourning that entire day. Sakhar may say it differently. Sabaya said, the person will not have that mourning obligation or those feelings because Yontif is upon him. The Mishnah said, V'loyei Orir El Meisoy. Rav explained this means, as they would do in Eretz Yisrael, which was to hire someone to go around to all the relatives and arouse feelings of mourning. Mishnah said, Koyim Merekel Shloishim Yon. For the Gemara, why is this 30-day period so special that it forbids these activities? Rav Kahana, name of Yehuda, name of Rav, said it once happened that a person's wife gave this professional eulogizer all the money that her husband had set aside to allow them to be oiler regel as payment to go ahead and to make a spade them, and they therefore couldn't be oiler regel. At that time, the Rabbanan said, a person may not arouse feelings for his relatives who have died by hiring someone to go to all the relatives and arouse feelings of mourning, or hire someone to make a spade them for the mace within the 30-day period before Yom Tov. Shmuel said, the reason is that a mace is not forgotten for 30 days, and a fresh reminder like that within 30 days of Yom Tov will keep a fresh memory of the mace on Yom Tov and disturb the Simchas HaYom Tov, which is something we don't want to do. The difference between these reasons would be where the eulogizer is doing it for free. Zok the Mishnah, we may not dig kuchin or kavaris in Chalamoid, but we may modify the kuchin on Chalamoid. On Chalamoid, we may dig a pool to be used to wash clothing. Zok the Mishnah, we may build a coffin for a mace in Chalamoid if the mace is in the same chotzer as where the building is taking place. Rabbi Yehuda says this may only be done if there are ready-made boards, not if someone has to saw boards from raw wood. For that, what are kuchin and what are kvaris? Yehuda explained, kuchin are made by digging graves into the walls of a cave, and kvaris are above-ground burial plots. The Braisa explains it this way as well. Mishnah said, "Mechamchen es hakuchen." Rehuda explained this means if it was too long, we may shorten it on Chalamoid this kuchen. Brisa says it may even be lengthened and widened, which takes more work than shortening on Chalamoid. Mishnah said, "V'oisin nevreches." Rehuda explained, "Nevreches is a baikia, a pool." In fact, more Brisa lists nevreches and baikia as two different items. Abaye said, "The nevreches is a larger pool which collects the water, and the baikia is a smaller pool which catches the runoff from the first pool." Mishnah said, "If orim emeis bechotzer." Our Mishnah says like a Brisa. Brisa says we may do all the needs of a mace on Chalamoid. We may cut his hair, wash his clothes, and make a coffin from prepared boards like Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. Hashem Gamil says we may even create the boards out of raw wood like the Tanakam of our Mishnah said. Zok the Mishnah, one may not get married in a Chalamoid. It doesn't make a difference if the woman he's marrying is a Psula or an Almono or even if it's Yibum because this creates a special joy for him. However, on Chalamoid, one may remarry a woman that he himself previously divorced. A woman may apply makeup on Chalamoid. Rehuda says a woman may not apply lime to herself to remove the hair or to make her skin shine on Chalamoid because it's disgusting for her while it's on her. A regular person may sew in the usual manner on Chalamoid, but a skilled tailor must use unusual stitches. One may create the support of a bed, which is done by weaving ropes to form a support for the mattress on Chalamoid. Rabbi Yossi says we may tighten them. Why don't we allow a marriage just because it brings him joy in Chalamoid? What's the problem having extra joy in Chalamoid? Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel said, we don't want to mix the joy of Yom Tov with the other joys. We want the person to be joyous with the Yom Tov alone. Rabbi Ravuna said, because he will totally put the joy of the Yom Tov on the side and only involve himself with the joy of his wife. Abayi said, the statement of Rabbi Ravuna is actually a statement of Rav, who said that one may not marry on Chalamoid based on the pasuk of Samach v'chagecha, we must rejoice for the Yom Tov and not just be rejoicing for one's wife. Ulusa, the reason why a person may not marry a chalamoid is because the chassan must put a lot of effort into making the wedding party, which disturbs his ability to enjoy the yom tov. If the Nachman said allowing marriage in the chalamoid would cause people to push off their wedding until chalamoid when they have time, it could also combine the party with the yom tov suda, which would delay people involving themselves in the mitzvah of puravu. A brisa says that one may marry any one of these women the day before yom tov. This does not make sense according to all the reasons we just gave. And for the Gemara, the one who gave the reason that he'll be busy with the joy of his wife will say that it's allowed because the main joy is just the first day. The same answer can be given for the reason that he's busy preparing for the wedding. According to the reason given that one will push off the wedding and then to wait for Yom Tov to try to save on the Yom Tov meal, since he can't make the wedding on the Chol HaMoed, he won't push off the wedding until Erev Yom Tov because that's too small of a window to rely on when planning a whole wedding. If he misses that window, he'll have to wait until after the entire Yom Tov. So that's the difference why Erev Yom Tov would be allowed, but Chol HaMoed itself would not be allowed.